Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
My name is Jeffrey Jacobs, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to, oh no, I have to scroll up, session 262 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. We are here. We made it. It was good. It was weird. It was everything we wanted and a little less. But the draft is over, and if you're a degenerate like we are, some of your rookie drafts have started. Part of me wants to see what it would be like to start all Trade Addicts 11 rookie drafts at the same time, and then part of me wants to live. So I haven't done yet. So I usually go like three a day and then like space it out every other day. So we got a bunch more starting tomorrow, but we have at least three going so far, and maybe we'll give you a little sneak into what's been going on in those so far. But first, before we get going, we have a guest that is their first time on the show. And as always, we do our little interviewee thing. So why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, where they can find what you do, where they can find you and everybody and everyone that you love?
Well, hi, my name's Jeff Jacobs. I've been playing Dynasty since 2005. That was my very first league that I jumped in. I just moved to Florida, and I had met these guys playing poker, and they noticed I liked football, and I had been a tabletop role player. So I played Dungeons and Dragons and anything else that you can name with dice and games and boards. So it was just kind of a natural fit. And I, of course, came into the Dynasty League thinking I knew what I was doing. And the first thing I did was immediately cut my top two running backs, Travis Henry. I'm trying to remember who my other guy was, but it was bad. And then I was bad for at least 3 years because I got rid of my best guys for nothing and didn't understand that I needed to trade for picks. And that was my first foray into fantasy football.
Well, at least you learned. And
Yeah, very, very quickly.
And knowing to cap the battle.
Yeah. I learned very quickly that what I knew about football was very wrong, since I couldn't name, you know, the third wide receiver on most depth charts. So fantasy has helped me out quite a bit.
Remember, like, everybody has that time where you know, like, teams back up offensive linemen, and then you realize that that's insane and you stop that?
You got it. I used to troll CBS Sportsline. That was my – that's where I started, and that's where I would just read player blurbs for hours and hours and hours late at night. Still kind of do sometimes, but you learn it's a little too much.
We still know fourth-string running backs, though.
Absolutely. Najee Harris, number one.
Okay, so how long have you – well, was that your first foray into fantasy altogether? Was that Dynasty League, or were you playing before?
No, I hadn't played at all before. That was my first one, and the guys at the poker table were laughing the whole time when I said, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'll come on in. I know football. This should be easy. And, you know, they had already gone through all their bumps and lumps, so they just got to laugh at me for a little while. But, you but it did start a love.
Combination, man. Like, everyone jokes and says fantasy football is just Dungeons and Dragons for jocks, and it's just like, you played D&D. You knew.
And it was very much that way.
The chosen one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then I also learned that knowing your league scoring setup, and because, you know, now that I look at that league, you only start seven players besides kickers and defense. I've learned that studs are all that matters in that league. And that, you know, advice that I take from other people, it's like, if we're not talking a top 100 player, I don't care in that league. Yeah, it's just it's worthless. I'll trade whatever you want for it.
Absolutely. All right. So what are some of the best and worst trades you've made during this many time in your what you at least make it seem like a very long streak of being terrible at this game?
Oh, yeah. Until I got lucky and drafted Larry Fitzgerald and Andre Johnson late in the first round. And that taught me that wide receivers can win me leagues back when it was all about running backs. And those were the two guys that carried me. And I got lucky because I liked Michael Turner when he was a backup on the Chargers. And then he came right over and led me to two back-to-back second place finishes.
Yeah, I had the I hate pun names. But I did have a team called the Double Johnsons that took me to the championship when it was Andre Johnson and Chris Johnson.
Absolutely. That would have been a phenomenal team.
Yeah. All right. So hit us with some of these trades.
Okay. So I was just going to go with some trades that I made this year because I took over two orphans this offseason to get a little bit more back into it. And in one of them, complete and total teardown. It was a very mediocre roster, but the one thing it did have was two extra 2024 firsts. Oh, yeah. So I immediately look at it. I don't like Najee Harris. I don't like David Carr. And I don't like some of the other, you know, big names on the team. Like Dallas Goedert, I like him, but he's never going to be elite with the people that he's on the Eagles with. So the first trade I made was, of course, to fix my quarterback room. I traded David Carr, Najee Harris, the 1-6 and the 2-6 for Justin Herbert, the 1-10, 3-10, and 4-10. And I thought I'd knock that out of the park for a rebuild team.
Absolutely. And I love that I know we have an OG on our hands because he does what I do and says David Carr instead of Derek Carr.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You got it. Because to me,
the worst part is you're like, don't say David. Don't say David. It's Derek Carr. So David Carr, I said, don't say that.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're old. If you say David Carr.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after that, I decided that I like DK Metcalf. I think he's good, but as a 49ers fan, I've seen him and I think I've seen his absolute peak limit. And to me, that is, you know, that top number two receiver, low end number one. So I traded him, Goedert, and a first for Waddle, Ferguson, and a 2024 first to try to kind of reset and also upgrade in my mind what my wide receiver was. I like Waddle a lot better than DK. Got a 24 first, shipped out Goedert, and now I'm definitely in the lead to score the least amount of points in the league. I think I have Cordell Patterson as the only running back on my roster. I've sold everyone else.
I'm sitting here thinking about my teams. I'm like, I'm probably in a worse situation. I know I'm at least one league where I have the same one. But like, I'm going to be honest, I dislike the DK slander that just got slung on my podcast. But I appreciate the Waddle love and the move to get the first as well. I'll let it slide this time.
Oh, DK is a physical, amazing thing. I mean, 10 years ago, he would have been exactly what I wanted in my top receiver. Big, strong, fast. And then you see him play, and I don't know if it's Lockett taking some of that away from him or if he's just kind of topped out and is what he is. And that's where I just don't think there's another level for him to go to with Waddle. I think I might get lucky and get that other level.
I mean, I can't say no because I agree. Waddle is freaking fantastic, but
yeah.
All right. So what is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you are offering or evaluating a trade?
I tell people that I will look at ranks or trade calculators as a guideline just to make sure I'm not crazy when I'm sending out an offer, but I will also completely ignore them if it's going to fit my team build. Like, I knew Samaje Perine this year was going to be a very popular guy. People were going to try to get him from me because he's going to start. He's going to get people some points and do what he wants to do. I traded him straight up for Tyquan Thornton, which is a loss, but for that team build as, like, you know, what, my fifth or sixth receiver in a team where I'm hoping doesn't score a lot of points this year, I felt like that was a win, and it also helps me build that strong relationship with the trade partner. And that's my guiding principle. You don't always have to win a trade to get ahead, because if you are making a trade with a good trade partner, that's going to help you for this season and more seasons. Do that instead of always winning a trade. If you're the guy that always has to win a trade, you will eventually lose your league because you won't make any more trades.
Russ and I definitely don't always have to win trades.
Russ, whether he likes it or not, doesn't always win trades. I mean, that's the unfortunate part. Okay, yeah. So real quick, I'm going to make a little aside here. I'm going to talk to my co-host for a second.
Go.
Hey, yeah. Rocky.
Hey, Russ. How you doing?
So we have these leagues called the Trade Addicts Leagues, right? You know them. You're in them, right?
Yes.
And where is this going? The rookie draft for Trade Addicts 1, 2, and 3 are going right now. Which you know that, right?
Am I on the clock? Where? What is this about?
In two of them,
really?
In one and two, I'm like, please be on three also. Please be on three also, but it's not.
You gotta be kidding me! I just made picks. I just made picks not that long ago in both one and two. I have too many picks then.
Then give them to me. I'll take them.
Yeah, there's no such thing as too many picks.
Send me an offer. All right, but while we're talking about that, I love doing this, and I love now that I've really leaned into Google Sheets, because I used to hate Google Sheets because I'm an Excel purist. I love Excel. And then I had a job which didn't have Excel, and I was forced to use Google Sheets. And I'm like, oh, this has some stuff. I like this. And now I have it automatically importing all of the drafts as they go. And then I was able to make it turn into a nice little ADP sheet. And like, I don't have to do anything. I used to type it in by hand. So I have, again, we have three drafts going, but I have almost two full rounds of ADP right now. So I figured I would share that a little bit and see how we feel about it. Now,
by the way, for the record, in one of these leagues, I've been on the clock for a total of 10 minutes.
All right. But you're
since
on the
we
clock.
Started recording, by the way.
Did I say, Rocky, you've been on the clock for a while? No, I just did.
You made it sound that way.
Well, yeah, of course. It was the fun to say, hey, Rocky, someone else just picked. You're up now. Like, you know, I'm going to drag it out and make you feel like a jerk about it.
Anyway, continue.
All right. So, okay. Consensus 101. We have had three drafts, and no one did not take Bijan first.
As they should.
Yes. And then next, we have Anthony Richardson, who was taken twice with the 2 and once with the 3. Yes, and I also hate Pete Carroll.
Fair.
Sorry, Frank is in the chat complaining, and I'm all there for him. Okay, so let's go. We have the next, then we have the three quarterbacks where it's Richardson, Stroud, and then Young. And they were all 2 through 4. None of them fell out of that. The quarterbacks didn't fall any further. No one jumped and took either JSN or Gibbs or anyone ahead of it.
In a non-TA league I'm in, someone took Gibbs and JSN over Young. I got him at 106.
Spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, all right, so I'm going to jump ahead of what I was going to ask later anyway. Why do we think the Lions will know what to do with Gibbs now when they had no idea what to do with Swift for the past 3 years? Not to say they're the same, not to say that Gibbs might not be more talented, but like Swift was pass catcher plus. Gibbs is pass catcher plus. Why would they magically know what to do with him now? Hands in the air, thrown away, but no. I needed to.
Because this group might actually want to use Gibbs, and when they hated Swift for some reason, you don't draft a guy at 12 overall if you don't have some kind of plan for it.
He started dating somebody's daughter, and that pissed off a coach or something. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was too efficient on catches. I don't know.
Ever since Mark Ingram just never got the ball in New Orleans for no reason whatsoever. Like I've just said, like, oh, he must have like dated Sean Payton's daughter or something. And that's my new excuse for everything. Whenever I don't agree with what the coach is doing, they obviously hate that player. And it must be because they dated their daughter. And not to say these wouldn't be nice, respectful gentlemen and treat them like a queen. But I don't know, man. Like, I think it's funny. Leave me alone. So this is where I, you know, would get interested. This is where I think the real decisions start happening. And the next three players are the three players I have always had in this tier. And it is Smith and Jigba, Gibbs, and then Addison. I was surprised to see JSN ahead of Gibbs at this point, even though it's where I go. Like, I did a mock last week on Sunday, I guess. That was 3 days ago, where I took Addison at 5. And honestly, it was a panic move. Like, I didn't know, like, it's not like the teams mattered or anything, but I was just like, all right, you know what? I'm just angry at Pete Carroll right now, even though it's not his fault, it's, you know, John Schneider's fault. But, like, I hated them taking JSN. I hated them taking Charbonnet. So, like, screw you guys. I'm taking Addison, who I think landed in a wonderful spot. But the world is going crazy for Gibbs. So I was a little surprised to see. Now, they both have the earliest pick of five, but there was one league where Addison went ahead of Gibbs, and that sort of gave JSN the knock to go ahead in ADP. So alpha male. So what do you, sorry, I saw that on the screen and I needed to lean into it.
No problem.
What's your order for those three and how strongly do you feel about it? And are those your next three, I guess is an important question.
In one of the few one quarterback leagues I play in, I have the 1-2, 1-3 and 1-4 picks after a bunch of trades. It's also a rebuild. Yeah. And you know, I had to trade a lot to get it. But after Bijan goes, what I was looking at was Gibbs, JSN and Addison. Those were my next three also. Although I have to wonder now if Addison is the right call, since everyone keeps saying not everyone, but multiple analysts I've watched say that they think he's going to be capped out just because he's next to Justin Jefferson, and also that he's just capped out in general as at best a number two receiver. I don't know if that's right or not, but I know I like him better than Quentin Johnson, and I like him better than Zay Flowers just based on landing spot. I think Lamar Jackson needs to throw to big guys over the middle. They should be drafting Quentin Johnsons and other tight ends, and I don't know if Zay Flowers is a good fit for Lamar Jackson, even though I think he's a really good player.
I'm just crossing my fingers that we see a brand new Lamar Jackson in a non-Greg Roman offense, because he's been there since his second year, right? Like,
or third. Yeah, he was there for his 2019 like big campaign where he won the MVP.
Second year again, and he's been there since. And it's like I'm ready for a non-Greg Roman offense to see what it's like.
As a 49ers fan, you're always happy to see it leave.
Yeah. And you're happy to see every one of your old players go to the Ravens and the other way around, just because Harbaugh's gone, but Harbaugh's not gone.
Yeah, go.
Okay, well, let me get to you. Rocky, first, what's your order? Are those your next three? And if so, what is your order?
I am on the Gibbs bandwagon, I guess, because for me, it would be pretty easily Gibbs, JSN, and then Addison.
See, I love Zach Reed's line of, I always break ties to running backs, so I'm going to take JSN, then Gibbs. Because to him, it's not a tie to him.
And I think there's a kind of a decent-sized gap from JSN to Addison, actually. Like, I like Addison, but he had said, alpha, I don't even know your real name. All I know is your alpha male, JMJ.
Jeff.
That's what you said. You said it at the beginning. That's my bad. I forgot.
Rocky doesn't listen. You'll learn that quickly.
I was trying to make my pick. That's why. No. I wasn't. Addison to me, I do think he kind of screams wide receiver two to me. Like, everyone after JSN in this class is like, there's no one I'm super excited about. Even I like Addison the best of all of them, but I don't ever see like wide receiver one in his range, like fantasy wide receiver one in his range of outcomes.
If the Vikings don't do anything at running back right now, I see it. You know, like I believe he's talented enough, and I believe that if they pass the ball as much as they should, and it's right now, the decaying body of Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison for whatever that's worth, and then there is just Justin Jefferson, Justin Jefferson, Addison, and Hawk, and that's it.
Yeah, KJ Osborne, no love.
I know the KJ Osborne slander.
No, the KJ Osborne, when someone gets hurt and he has to step in, will be gold. That's what he does. You know, when Thielen was hurt, KJ Osborne was great. But I'm here for Addison, and
I do think Addison probably could be the most fantasy relevant guy this year, even over JSN. Yes. I do think that still comes out to probably wide receiver two at best, and I don't know if he ever tops that.
All right, so we'll move on because Rocky's just wrong. The next one is where to me it gets super spicy because the Tradeaddicts leagues are 0.75 tight end premium.
Okay.
But Dalton Kincaid is the next player, and I have feelings on this, but I'll let someone else talk first. Someone talk about Dalton Kincaid and whether you think he belongs here, because I'm flabbergasted.
I'll let Jeff, you go first.
Oh, yeah, sure. Love his landing spot, first of all. Go into the Bills and can even start out as maybe like a big slot, not just a tight end, because I'm not a Dawson Knox guy. I loved him his first year that he came out, and then after I watched, I was like, okay, I fell in love with something that isn't real. And I feel like he's validated me. But Dalton Kincaid, all the upside. Josh Allen saying, hey, I need to run less, and having a big guy that he can throw to, I can see the definite upside there. I mean, to me, he's easily the number one tight end this season. I really don't think there's a question about that just because of his draft capital landing spot. I just don't know if I'd have him over Zay Flowers, but in a 1.75, it does tilt it that way for me. I think the 1.75 is that zone where once we're there, you're talking top 8 or 9 tight ends. That matters, and Kincaid has that shot of actually being in there. So I do like him there. I'm just wondering if it's going to beat Flowers' overall skill set.
I'm going to mostly agree with Jeff there. I get why he's going there, and I've seen it again in non-TA leagues because I'm in way too many leagues, and I've had other drafts starting already. But again, the draft capital, the landing spot are perfect. And he was a lot of people's tight end one coming in for fantasy anyway. It was basically him or Mayer coming into the draft. And then he got the great landing spot in the draft capital. And the premium and all that, I get it. But I don't want to draft a tight end in the first round generally, because he's probably, even with the good landing spot, I don't think he's going to, tight ends just don't produce year one for the most part. On a significant basis. And I think of what it is it just sort of speaks to the rest of this class. Like after these first 7 picks, there's guys I like. Okay. I like Quentin Johnson. I'm not as big of a Zay Flowers guy, but once you get past like 8, I don't want to pick anybody. So I get what people would just pick Kincaid between the first round draft capital, tight end premium, the Buffalo Bills, all that stuff.
All right. The Bills have wanted to use a tight end for years now. It's been literal years. I can't even remember who became before Knox at this point anymore. Was Ackerts there for a while? That sounds familiar, but I don't think so. No, that's wrong. I can't think of who I'm thinking that went there. But it's never happened. Now, I know Kincaid is not necessarily really a tight end. He's just a very, very big wide receiver. And they have been missing that second wide receiver, so maybe it's a thing. But I'm fine missing on this. I'm fine not spending the 108, 109 on a tight end.
Especially in a class that has a lot of good tight ends with significant draft capital.
Charles Clay was one of them there. See, that's why I love that Frank watches us every
day. I know.
but okay, let's – like, I just – all right. Well, Quentin Johnston is my next guy. Like, I would take him easily over Kincaid and over Flowers. So, I liked Quentin Johnston in the first place, and landing, like, he's going to be the new X in Justin Herbert's offense. Like, why don't you want that? I get it that he has flaws in his game. I'm not going to call him a wide receiver, but he's
well, duck hands.
It's fine. It's not important, right? Like, you don't need to have good hands. But like to me, that's like. I'll sit next to Keenan Allen for a couple of lunches and just like watch how he eats a sandwich. And like, that's how I'll learn to catch a ball. Like that's what happens in like sitcoms and like bad movies where he's eating a sandwich. He drops it and sees Keenan Allen catch it. He's like, that's it. Pretend like I dropped my sandwich at like in Little Giants where it's the toilet paper.
Yeah. But what if he watches Mike Williams, who he's actually going to replace? Now we have a problem.
Bite your tongue. 19 plans in big wide receiver. And Mike Williams is healthy. He's fantastic. Going after that, Zay Flowers is just really good. And I think at that point, we're at, please let this offense be better. Please let this offense be better. And I'm willing to take that again. I'm willing to take that risk above Kincaid. After that is where it sort of gets a little iffy for me. Because the next few picks are Will Levis, Zach Charbonnet, Devin Achane. And now we hit Sam Laporta, Michael Mayer.
There we go.
Like, those are the guys I'd rather wait to take a shot on. Yes. Like, Michael Mayer, I get it. Well, first of all, he's going to be on the field a lot because that dude can block. But he's also the tight end for Jimmy Garoppolo now. And that's kind of something you want.
mm-hmm.
And I find it weird that people aren't going nuts for Devin Achane right now. He was a lot of people's running back 3 or 4, and he landed in what was probably the best spot. Like, what spot do you want to see a running back land? Whoever lands in Miami is going to be great. And now all of a sudden we're acting like that's not what we've been saying for the past few months. Like,
I mean, there's Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson. How can you think he's ever going to take over that backfield? Those guys are just elite, right?
Well, I mean, like, Devin Achane is Raheem Mostert, except he's not 46 and not on his 18th NFL team. You know, like, so, like, he has an ADP of 13 exactly. His earliest pick is 11. His latest is 14. I was not the 11. I was a little surprised. I thought I would be the earliest on him, but I was not. So I was.
I mean, how high were you expecting him to go? I mean, I've seen him in a lot of first rounds so far.
Yeah. Honestly, after Flowers, I think everything is just up for grabs. I know there's a lot of people that are with you that are just like, no on Levis.
Yeah.
So when you get to that point, do you take Charbonnet, even though that spot is so weird? Or do you take your shot at one of those tight ends? Or at that point, are you reaching for Mingo or Hendon Hooker? Or like, so at that point, Achane seems like the obvious pick right there.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I agree that he is there, and I think I've seen him going in that general. You're saying you're surprised people have been going crazy. You think you're surprised he's not like at the 108 or something, or the
I'm surprised he's not in the actually not the 108. Like, I guess I'm overreacting a little bit. Like, I guess maybe it's just because I'm not hearing people say anything about it. It's just like people are drafting Achane and calling it a day, not like, yeah, I got Achane, like. Like I kind of was, where I did it in TA1, and Eric was like, wait, you took a running back? No, I wanted that guy. And then he kept trying to trade for him. And I'm like, well, now that I know you want him, you're not getting him easily. And like, up trading back one pick and getting the 309, I'm like, I get it. Like, that's what you're supposed to do to trade one spot, but I like the guy I took, so I'm not going to let that happen. You know, so I guess that really is more of what it is, where it's not like that big of a deal. So I guess let me ask you, Jeff, what's your feelings on Levis and Hooker, and your feelings on them, their landing spots, and when you feel they should be drafted as superflex?
Okay, we'll start with Levis. I do like that he went to Tennessee because Ryan Tannehill is a corpse, and I've seen him for years, and he's been great. And you know, he was the Mendoza line for a long time, and then Jimmy Garoppolo took over, and now David Carr took over. But I mean, at this point, if I'm at the end of the first, beginning of the second round of Superflex League, Levis has to be on your board, even if you don't like him. Because if he does start and produces any kind of points, he's worth more than what you paid for him in a trade. Hands down, for being young and everything else, if you can't get a late first for him after he like shows that he's okay, you know, if you can't get more than you got for Kenny Pickett, you're going to have a problem. And so for me, I would take Levis over Achane, simply because Achane is the size of Darren Sproles, and we've only seen very limited running backs produce on a consistent basis at that size. I don't doubt his talent. I think he's super talented. I just don't know if he's going to get smacked by a real NFL linebacker and be okay.
Give me those 2 years of fire we got from Phillip Lindsay, and I'll call it a win.
Well, no. Yeah, exactly. Like, I like Achane there. I don't think he should leave the end of round one, you know, beginning of round two turn. But in a super flex league, if you're asking me, I'm going to take a QB over the running back every single time. I mean, yeah, I think it's just smart process.
All right. What's your feeling on Hendon Hooker and when you think he should be going? Oh, sorry, Brock, you started to talk.
Go. Yeah, I was just going to say my counter argument to the Levis thing, because we kind of had this debate in one of the TA chats, is he's not good. That's my I believe he's not good. And if I am right that he's not, and I could totally be wrong, he could be awesome. He could be, you know, everyone thought Justin Herbert and Josh Allen were not good. But the difference between those two and him is he was drafted at the beginning of the second round. And the landing spot
– Brees isn't good?
No, but my point is if he comes out and shows what I believe he will show, then he doesn't hold value. Like, if Herbert had not been good, he's still worth a first – Zach Wilson was still worth a first-round pick after his rookie year, even though he was ass, because he was the number two overall pick, and you figured he was going to get a long leash, which he did not, and that or that he might improve because he was the number two pick in the draft. If this guy comes out and shows what I think he will show, then he's not worth a first. You spent a late first round pick. You're not getting a first round pick for him. If he doesn't start this year, or he comes out and starts and is not good, he doesn't hold value the way a top 10 to 15 pick would. So, I mean, if I believed he was good and went in the early second round, I'd be a little more in on him, but I don't. And that draft capital, I think, just kills him because he's not going to hold. I believe he's not going to produce, and if he doesn't produce, he's not going to hold value, in which case I don't want him. There's a point I will take him, but it's not in the first round.
Okay.
So just putting it out there.
All right. While you're talking, what's your thoughts on Hooker?
Me on Hooker? Me or Jeff?
I said while you're talking.
Oh, sorry.
It's offensive, but you just get used to it.
Hooker, I mean, he's a third round quarterback, so I'm not really that interested. That's basically what it boils down to me. I know that he's drafted into a spot where he could potentially, you know, take over for Goff because nobody believes in Goff, but Goff was actually pretty good last year. And they have a pretty good offense, and I don't see him starting anytime soon. I don't think he's necessarily just going to take over for Goff whenever Goff is done. So, again, a quarterback in Superflex, I'll take him somewhere in the second round, but probably someone's always going to take him before I'm going to take him. I haven't watched as much of Hooker as I have of Levis, so I don't have as firm an opinion on how bad or good he is. But from what I heard, I mean, I feel like he's a nice player, but he's not going to be anything special anyway. And he was drafted in the third round, and I'm not sure he ever starts. So I would probably take a mid to late second, but from what I'm seeing so far, people are taking him a little earlier than I would take him. People are taking him more in the 203, 204, 205 range, probably because of that Lions landing spot.
So, real quick, he was drafted in 2 out of 3 leagues so far, the earliest of 15 and the latest of 20. I
might take him at 20, yeah.
Those were both me. in TA1, I literally, like, I did it because I was like, this team's rebuild. And I'm like, all right. I mean, like, there's a couple of wide receivers. I could, like, I was staring at Mingo, and I'm just like, Mingo or Mayer is probably the right choice. But the value gain, the second Hooker steps on the field, might be worth it. And the second I said that in my head, I'm like, it's worth it. I'm just going to do it. So what's your feelings, Jeff?
Well, for me, it's all about the landing spot. And we, like what Rocky said last year at Goff, if you look at it over the whole season, looked like he did okay. But in any game where they actually had a pass rush, he crumples like a piece of paper in my hand. But I mean, I think that's been Goff's thing the whole time. If you keep him upright and protected, like with the Rams, he can be phenomenal, take you to a Super Bowl. I just think that the Detroit Lions burned draft capital. Their entire draft, they were just throwing it out the window with where they were picking guys. And I am kind of with you, Rocky. Even if he takes the field for them, I don't know if it's ever going to be anything more than mediocre at the top end. And so that to me is a mid to late round two pick. Like, you know, I think I saw him go. I've only had one rookie draft finish so far, and he went like 17 or 18. And I thought that was the exact right spot. I don't know if I would take him over Mingo, though, draft capital.
Absolutely feel like that was the wrong choice, but I did it anyway because it felt right at the moment. I'm going to be sad about that. The second Mingo catches his first catch, I'll be like, no, I screwed that up.
Well, I actually wanted to ask you guys a little bit about Mingo because before the draft, I felt like most people were more down on him. And then after his draft capital, now everyone's going, oh, hey, body catcher, not a big deal. I mean, what do you guys see there?
Look, if body catcher is not a big deal for Mingo, it is not a big deal for Quentin Johnson. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah, I find that to be an issue with my wide receivers. If they're body catchers, that kind of makes it as a do not draft for me.
Yes, that's the right answer. Have you watched these guys, Rocky? I know you haven't been as studious as you have been in the past.
I haven't as been as studious, and I haven't really watched Mingo. I'm actually trying to kind of even catch up on some guys this week, but I haven't gotten to Mingo yet. So I'm going by stuff I've heard, and I've heard the body catching thing that Jeff said, and I tend to shy. And again, like I said, I didn't look at it myself and decide where I slot him in, but I tend to not love elevating guys that much on draft capital. Like Mingo was not a guy that was highly regarded by anyone. You know, even though I haven't watched these guys, I'm listening to a lot of the same people that you are, Russ, and hearing things and reading things and listening to podcasts. And it's not like Mingo was a highly regarded guy pre-draft. And now just because he was drafted in the second round, admittedly to a team that doesn't have much at receiver, it still doesn't make me necessarily want to draft him super high. He's got to go somewhere in the mid-second, I think, just based off the draft capital and the opportunity. But I don't feel great about it, basically, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I am also one that is absolutely willing to overlook a lot of things when opportunity comes into it. Like, why was John Metchie drafted in the early second last year? Well, because he walked into the Texans where there was literally no one else to catch the ball. And when we're talking about the second, is there the biggest difference in the early second or the mid second in a year like this? No, not really. Yeah. So that's why I'm absolutely fine, because after Mingo, we have Hooker, Rashee Rice, Josh Downs, Roschon Johnson, Marvin Mims, which I'm really annoyed I don't have any yet, even though I've only done two rookie drafts, and Kayshon Boutte. And if that's the case, I'm cool grabbing Mingo a couple of spaces early, you know, like just ahead of those guys, because I feel like he is, given just capital and situation. And while he isn't a complete prospect, he's exciting. And you want that with your rookie quarterback. And when you have a lot of steady Eddies on the team, like Thielen and Hayden Hurst, and like you have about a lot of people that can catch the ball, take it 3 yards, then fall down. So let's try and get the home run hitter on that team. So that's why I think like I'm good. I'm absolutely good with pick 16. Like that feels, like you said, based on capital and situation alone. And then add a little bit of upside because the player's fun and I like it.
By the way, you just mentioned Boutte in there. He's kind of the exact opposite principle of what I just said about Mingo, where if a guy's taken in the sixth round, a receiver in the sixth round, I know there's reasons for that, but that might not have to do with football. But I'm totally not drafting a wide receiver that
would in the sixth round. If there's
especially in the second round.
If there's a wide receiver that is not drafted, if there's a player, I'm going to just wide open this one. If there's a player that is not drafted for personality reasons and the Patriots still draft him, I'll give that guy a shot.
Except the Patriots. Well, actually, the Patriots are not good at drafting receivers, except when they draft them very late, like Julian Edelman, I guess. So,
like you should. Got it.
So maybe it'll work out.
He's Terrace Marshall 2.0. So for me, he's a complete stairway. He won't be on any of my teams.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd be later than this. Not gonna lie. Like,
that's
the third.
I had a question for you guys. I just had my first rookie draft yesterday, and I was picking at the 2-9. At the 2-8 is when Mingo went, so I didn't have to make the choice. But then I took Reed, who went to the Green Bay Packers, and I felt like that was a great pick.
Yes,
just with his draft capital.
It's weird because we've spent so long chasing the Green Bay wide receiver two, and now we're like, oh, Green Bay wide receiver two. Wait, it's not Aaron Rodgers anymore. and they also did add two good tight ends. So at that spot, that's a fantastic pick regardless.
I agree.
But I'm definitely not bump getting that second Green Bay wide receiver bump that we used to give for sure.
Yeah.
But like, what'd you say? Like the 208, I think you just said? Like that?
It was at the 2-9. Mingo went right before me, and he was the guy I was looking at. But then when he went, I just went, cool, I'll take this guy who seems to have just as good of a RAS profile. Let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's what we have in our ADP so far. That'll keep going. I'll probably find ways to get that out to the world as it keeps going, because we, like I said, we have more starting up tomorrow. So we'll get more firmed numbers up top and more stuff going down. So now is the time where we make our guests do a little bit of work. What do you want to do? Trade addicts trades or listener questions first?
Oh, give me the trades first.
All right. Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yards, except for TA1, which it seems like will stay the case because every time it gets brought up in the Discord, there's always like two or three people that are like, no. And at this point, I think they like it just to mess with me. But the first trade we have is in Trade Addicts 2. And at the time, the trade was DJ Moore for the 108. I loved the respect on DJ Moore. Wait, was this you, Rocky?
This was not.
Okay, because I see a DJ Moore trade in a trade that has like respect on his name. I'm like, this must have been Rocky.
I was trying to trade for the 108, and then Justin Mercer, who made the trade, told me he was getting offered DJ Moore. I was like, okay, you're good. Yeah, I'm not topping DJ Moore.
I love that. I love when I'm talking with someone, they're like, all right, well, I just got offered this. I'm like, holy crap, you should take that.
That's basically what it was. I'm like, okay, nowhere. I'm out.
Okay, and then the 108 ended up being Dalton Kincaid, just because now I like that we can give you the story. So, Jeff, what are your thoughts on DJ Moore for the 108? And I guess to put it in context for this team, DJ Moore just for Dalton Kincaid.
In a vacuum, I would like the pick just because I see DJ Moore as a good receiver, but a good number two receiver. And I don't know if we're ever going to see anything more than that, especially now going to Chicago with Justin Fields. I'm an Ohio State fan. And to me, Justin Fields is my first chance, besides maybe CJ Stroud, at seeing a quarterback in the NFL succeed from Ohio State. So I've been super excited. Love the guy. Love his upside in fantasy. I haven't seen him pass the football at a NFL level yet.
Yep.
And, you know, now suddenly we have a lower passing volume offense. Quarterback isn't throwing as much. He's been a number two at best his entire career. Give me the re-roll on the 1-8 for Dalton Kincaid or whoever other option was there. That's what I would take.
Yeah, like that. This is what I love and I hate it, because I love that we get to see how it goes, but I'm like, man, I would have done something different with that pick, though. Like, yeah. If that was DJ Moore for Quentin Johnston, I would say Quentin Johnston all day. But it turned
out. Yeah, I'm with you.
I no surprise, I would take DJ Moore over the 108, regardless of who the pick was, assuming the other seven guys that we talked about earlier are off the board. And I do like Quentin Johnston, but there's definite chance. I mean, we see receivers bust all the time.
So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I don't feel confident that he's any you know, more bust proof than anybody else. So I'll take my wide receiver too, with the potential. I still think someday he's going to have one of those wide receiver one seasons. He's so damn talented.
He gives you the weeks that make you feel like it's possible. Yes. And then it's just like, oh yeah.
And I realize at this point it's probably a pipe dream, but I refuse to stop believing.
Well, it's not his talent. Like it's not exactly. DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore's a good player, but I just think, like, you know, look who's throwing to him. At some point you have to look at the guy and go, he's just not going to do it for him.
Yeah, and you're probably right. I've been a DJ Moore stan ever since he came into the league, pretty much. So
totally get it. I like him.
And honestly, in this draft, like I said, and I think we're going to get to this in one of the listener questions later, but this draft was definitely overhyped for what it actually is. And the one, like I said, I like Quentin Johnston, but the 108 is exactly where I'd be fine paying for DJ Moore. So,
like, I know we got spoiled with 2020 and 2021, but how often do you get 7 to 9 players that you feel really good about? Like, it's not a very often thing. It's just that we've had a lot of really good drafts lately. And there's a lot of running backs here that I think will be relevant. So, like, I get it. There's no living up to what we pushed this at.
No.
But I don't think this is underwhelming. Like, there's a lot of people saying this is underwhelming. I don't think it is.
2 years ago, I was feeling a lot better about my 109 to 112 picks, but...
Yeah. Well, I feel like we feel that way every season. You get to the end of the first, and you're like, well...
The end of the first 2 years ago, you were getting Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle.
Stoked about it, as we know, like we know now. Like, we were like, oh yeah, Devontae Smith, he's small, but he might work.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle, we never really saw it. He got hurt. You know, like,
maybe other people were saying that. I was pretty happy taking those guys.
So was I. I love Devontae Smith. I only wish that I just took Waddle like once instead of Devontae. Like, of course, I traded for Waddle, and I love him, you know, unconditionally now. But, like, at the time, I was just like, no, give me Devonta. And I still love Devonta, so it's fine. So I tried to not do straight pick for picks in this because it's just not fun to listen to for me a little bit. But I had to – this one is interesting to me because getting into that 2-4 pick was something I've been arguing about ever since the end of last NFL season. And the next trade we have is the 103 and 303 for the 106, 202, and 205.
This one actually was me.
This one was you. And I can't remember which direction it was, but I remember in Trade Addicts 1, I had the 2 and the 3. I traded them both away. But besides the point, but like, and I was trying to trade back to the 5 or 6 because I just wanted JSNs and I just wanted to make sure I got him. Mm-hmm. And I kept asking for a lot because we are talking about trading from a really good skill player to what's going to be a very good quarterback. And to me, that's a first. Like, to me, like, that was a bigger tier jump. And then I saw this and I'm like, is this good or was I wrong? It is what I'm staring at. Now, which side of this were you, Rocky?
I traded back. I had the 103.
And clearly you felt that. Okay, so was this the first offer or was there talking that got to this?
This was not the first offer, but it was not much back and forth. I think he also had the 108 and he was originally offering something similar with the 108, which I was like, no way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I think I changed it to the 106. I think both seconds were already in there. And he may have added that 303, which I don't give a crap about. So,
and I don't know if we're there yet, but we definitely weren't at the time to see what those picks turned into. And that's probably what's on the clock right now, you lazy jerk. 202 is on the clock. So right before your pick went Zay Flowers, Laporta, Charbonnet, and A-Chain. So now looking at it, how you feel about this draft, who you see is on the board, Michael Mayer, Hendon Hooker, Josh Downs, Kendre Miller, Roschon Johnson, A.T. Perry, Rashee Rice, Tank Bigsby. Like, how do you feel about the value now of like the 202 and the 205 pushing you back out of the quarterbacks? Well, you did say you're a big Gibbs guy, so you're, I'm sure, feeling great about that.
Well, I actually didn't take Gibbs either.
Well, yeah, you traded and turned with someone
this
else.
I
wrote it down and then I remembered as I was saying it out loud.
Yeah, you didn't put it on the sheet, but this actually turned into the 106 and a 24 second for 24 first. Yeah.
Yeah, I told you I didn't want to do just picks, and that trade was a lot of picks. So, like, that's, but I wanted to put this in here because that was a very sore point for me for a lot of months. So, and
I was fine with it. I actually, Stroud is my QB1, and I get the upside of Richardson. I just, it's sort of the Will Levis thing to me where I'm letting my my opinion maybe color things too much and not accounting enough for the upside. I just don't believe he's going to be as good as his ceiling is. Like, I don't think that, you know, he's going to have the value, unlike Levis, because he was drafted at 4 overall. But I'm not a fan of Richardson himself. And I could have taken Young there, but Stroud is my number one, and he went 102. I might have just taken the pick if Stroud was there, but he wasn't, so I decided, okay, I was getting a couple offers for him. And this team is total crap. It's an orphan I took over this year. So yeah. I'm not in love with the draft after 7, but I liked having multiple shots at some other guys in the draft. And like I said, I also turned the 106 into multiple 24 firsts as well. So it made a lot of sense.
I got my little monster here.
Hey, puppy. We are
say a hi, Chewy.
Friendly podcast. That is absolutely okay.
So I was just saying, it made a lot of sense given my team build, and I'll probably take either Mayer or Miller as a guy I like a lot that I can see getting a value boost, even though I don't really need running backs on my team because it's not that good. But
well, he's if a guy you want like to go further back, give me that 202. I have some later seconds. You can
how later?
208, 210, and 211.
Maybe.
We'll talk later.
Yeah.
So what's your feelings, Jeff? Like, if you're sitting with the 103 and someone throws the 106, 202, and 205, is that enough for you to move back?
Yes, it is, because in most leagues that I'm in, Bryce Young is going to go at the 102. And I am also of the opinion that I don't know if Richardson's going to be good. I can see that his talent level could be really high based on the physical skills, but I would take that trade back. I'm also with Rocky. Stroud is probably my number one, but I couldn't give up the 2-2 and the 2-5 and the 1-6. That seems like more than enough to move back on guys that I don't have any conviction on.
Maybe I'm just wrong. That's fine. I'll admit that you guys are probably not as wrong as I am.
Well, here's the problem. If Anthony Richardson even hits 85% of his potential, I'm completely wrong, because that means he's out there running around doing better than Justin Fields. And that right there is a starter that you have for years, which is great.
I like
Justin Fields
more, so I hope that doesn't happen. Okay, so I love this next trade is in Trade Addicts 3, and this is the pure power of having someone else's future first, and then they want to rebuild. So this trade is Travis Kelce, Jared Goff, and James Conner for his 24 first back, the 212, KJ Hamler, and Chig Okonkwo. So this is Travis Kelce, Jared Goff, and James Conner for a 24 first.
Yeah, I mean, Chig's okay as a bench, but yeah.
No, don't even bother talking about them. There's no analysis of this trade. This is really, I need to point this out, that if you trade for future firsts, do it from people whose teams are in the middle and might want to just blow it up, because you make them pay through the nose to get it back. And this might have just ruined my chances for getting back to the finals in DA3, because that's a haul for a 24 first.
You know what's funny, though? Like, I did this in a league last year, a non-TA league, and I gave a guy back his future first, and I made him pay through the nose, it seemed, at the time. It was like his future first, and I added a little, kind of like this, added a little bit to it for his 23 first, and it was like Devontae Adams, Alvin Kamara, and DeAndre Hopkins or something like that.
I remember
which at the time seemed like people were saying in the chat, oh my God, like that's ridiculous. And he's now got Bijan Robinson. And do you think you're trading, you're getting Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, and you're getting Bijan Robinson for Adams, Hopkins, and Kamara right now?
No.
Yeah. Like if this turns into Caleb Williams, absolutely.
Yeah.
But right now, and Frank, that is not Chig slander. It is just Chig slander when talking about Travis Kelce and Jared Goff. Like, I like Chig. He is great for what he does, but he's not Travis Kelce. Okay, so next we have is Trade Addicts 4. No, we don't need to talk about that one.
Cup. It's all cup.
We're gonna skip this trade. We're gonna talk about the next one. And this is like the dangers of trading before the NFL draft.
Oh, yeah. You had no way to know there was any danger involved here, though.
Right? Like, I despise the, I'm just going to wait to see how the draft goes out. Like, no, I want to trade now. Like, this is fun now. I'm bored now. I want to do this. But this was before the NFL draft. Someone traded Ken Walker and the 207 for the 106 and the 24 first on Thursday. And then on Friday.
Ouch. He looks like a prophet.
Zach Charbonnet. Now, don't get me wrong. They're gonna split. Like you paid. Like Ken Walker's not deceased. He's not retiring. But I think the chances of him being a fantasy running back top 10 is probably off the board.
Yep.
That's rough.
Yeah. Well, without receiving upside. Yeah.
Yeah, your hope is that both him and Charbonnet maybe can be RB2s or something.
Yeah, right. And it's just like, maybe they're just going to run every single... Oh, yeah, but they also drafted JSN a lot.
Yeah, they got three good receivers, though.
Well, I guess that's my bigger question. I mean, I already had a question. Is JSN is a third guy on a run-first offense? I mean, was he already capped out at 650 yards and 50 catches this year?
Yes.
Gotta ask.
I do believe he is capped this year. But speaking of cap, Tyler Lockett's going to hit that hard next year. So chances are he's cut. So I think that is what I think. JSN is a long term play. Like that's a lot of the conversation I've been having is like, look, if you want to win now, like it's been between Gibbs and JSN for a lot of people, and I'm like, look, Gibbs is going to score a whole lot more now. But in 4 years from now, it's going to be JSN. You know, whether that means something or not, who knows? But
and if you want to win now, you generally shouldn't be depending on your rookie pick anyway.
Exactly. But, you know, you still want to – this early in a draft, you kind of hope you can.
Yeah. you kind of hope it at least happens. Yes. Yeah.
You have that.
Almost not definitely happen. Not going to with him. Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to Trade Addicts 5, where this was one of the few 101s I've traded away. The 101 and a 24 second for the 102 and Christian Watson.
I actually think this is a decent 101 trade. Like, you're getting your choice of the top rookie quarterback. And I really like why I liked him coming out last year. I feel I was a little higher on him than most.
This was purely done because of last week's show. Like, we talked about Christian Watson a decent amount.
That's right.
And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I went through every single league and I found who had Christian Watson. And I sent a lot of trades that were not as good as they should have been. And so a lot of them got rejected. But then I saw this and I'm like, I feel like I could send something here that will get done and not be ridiculous. Like, I feel like I probably could have tried not even adding that second in there and it might have gotten accepted. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. It's a future second. I don't care. Let's do it. And it got accepted without any issue, any talk, whatever. So I'm happy about it because my team is so bad. It does not need Bijan Robinson right now. Yet I have two quarterbacks that I feel okay starting. So I'm absolutely going for the Anthony Richardson ceiling with the 102.
Yeah, and that makes it even better with the context. You're getting a quarterback and a receiver back, and you're trading Bijan. And like I said, I really like Watson's upside. I mean, we'll see what happens with Jordan Love there now instead of Rodgers. But he proved he can play last year. So like I said, I like this film coming out. So I like this line. This is one of the few 101 trades where I feel like you actually can say, oh, you're getting decent value. Like, people want the world for the 101 because it's Bijan. But this isn't maybe the world, but I definitely think it's fair.
Yeah. What about you, Jeff? How do you feel?
As the owner of the 1.01 in four different leagues, I look at this trade and say, is it fair? Yes, I believe the trade is fair because I like Christian Watson. I just know that I got offered the 1-2 and Goodwin for my 101, and I declined it. Yeah. And it's just because I'm looking at it going, if I'm going to move off what everyone agrees is like the only 100% blue chip player in the draft, I didn't want a lot more, but I definitely wanted a little bit more. And the guy balked at giving me anything else. So then he came back with like 102 Ferguson and the 111, and I just declined it. Didn't even say anything.
See, but there's also a difference that, like, there's age difference to me. Yeah. There's situation. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. We don't know what Jordan Love is, but we know he's not Kyle Trask or
Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield.
Like, I feel good in that assumption. But no, I absolutely understand what you're saying. And honestly, if I had the 101 in leagues where I was constantly getting decent offers and just like waiting to like biding my time to like get people anxious and make them build, maybe I would have tried a little harder, but I have not been able to move a lot of my 101s. Like, I haven't been able to get a real offer. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to send an offer. I'm going to give it a shot and we'll see how it goes. And
The best trade I've seen for the 1-1 was actually in the draft I was just in 2 days ago. And somebody traded, I think it was the 1-1 and the 1-8 for the 1-2, Drake London, and the 2-3. And that is something that I think is fair on both sides that is actually worth moving back for.
Yeah.
It's the only one I've seen like that.
Yeah. I'm super into Drake London right now. So that would also definitely help me want to move back. All right. We're going to skip this next one too, because I mean, like, Joe Mixon for the 206, I just wanted to put that on like that actually happened. Joe Mixon for the 206.
I mean, if he's not cut, that's going to end up being a great move for getting rid of your 2-6.
Like, this was me. This was offered to me, my 206 to get Joe Mixon. I'm like, if he's on the Bengals, this is fantastic. If he's on a team, this is probably still okay.
Yeah. I mean, because the guy's still talented. We've always known he's a knucklehead. I mean, we've known that since college, so it's not like this is a surprise.
And then the last trade we have is Trade Addicts 10, and I wish I could remember the context of this, but all I know is I got sent an offer that I hated accepting, but I did anyway. Someone sent me Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce for AJ Brown, Calvin Ridley, and a 25 first, my 25 first.
Okay.
And I stared at it for a while. And I'm just like, I hate giving up AJ Brown. I freaking hate giving up Calvin Ridley. I don't really care about my 25 first. I want someone else's 25 first anyway, in the end.
Yes, that's what I did.
And that gives me a chance to win. So I clicked it and I did it. I honestly, I feel like the value is even. Like, I feel like it's a good trade. I feel like the value is there, but.
Well, I mean,
Kelce just gave me so many points that I was just like, I get it. Ridley can walk back and be a top 10 wide receiver. Like,
could be. I mean, because I drafted Calvin Ridley in like the 111 in multiple drafts the rookie year he came out, and I loved what he did. But at this point, without having seen him on the field on a new team with time off, I am more than happy to use his value to send him away for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Unless their legs fall off next year, I think he won this trade.
We're going to leave it at that because I like that. All right. And I just got a text message that says I need to go upstairs. So, Rocky, you're taking over. Hopefully I'll be back. If not, Jeff, it was awesome having you on. Ton of fun. And I'm sorry that I need to run. And, well, hopefully I'll be back.
Okay.
Okay. I guess we're going on to listener questions then.
Yeah. All right.
The first question we have is from at bhillman42. Who is your favorite I gotta have him player in this class based on player and where drafted? He says he's currently in two and acquired his one and only Bijan share. And also asks, why did the Packers select two tight ends in back-to-back rounds? And also asks, favorite bourbon, which I do not have one because I don't really drink bourbon. So if you have one, Jeff, feel free to offer it up.
I do. I'm a pretty big Buffalo Trace fan, so I would normally suggest that because I think it's a good one that isn't super expensive. So that's normally what I suggest to people who like things that warm your belly on the way down.
Yeah, this would have been a better question if Russ had been able to stick around because I think he's much more of a bourbon guy than I am. But do you have a favorite I gotta have him player in this class so far?
So far, from what I've seen where everyone is getting drafted, it looks more like my favorite guys are more third-roundish type picks. But the guys I've seen that have gotten that far, I like what's his name? Schoonmaker, the tight end that went to Dallas. And as an Ohio State fan, it hurts me to root for a Michigan guy like that. But seeing where he went, and I'm thinking that he is exactly like what they just had, if not a little bit better physically. I love it, and I love the fact that the best guy that they brought in was Brandon Cooks as the second receiver there, which means to me, Schoonmaker, I think we're going to have a big season, and if you can get him like I did at the 3.07, I love that.
Yeah, and I think that is kind of around where he's going generally, even in tight end premium leagues. And we've seen Dak loves to – we talk about it on this pod all the time. Dak loves to throw it at his tight ends, you know. He made out of retirement Witten a thing, and he made Dalton Schultz a thing that I don't think a lot of us expect him to be now that he's out of Dallas. It's just that Dak loved throwing at that position so much. So
So that's where I went. High powered offense, a guy who is probably looked at like the fourth or fifth tight end in this class. I mean, if we're being at best. So I mean, to me, that's a home run. I already mentioned Reed earlier on the Packers. I think he's a sneaky good pickup as a late second round pick.
Yeah, and I don't know that I have any I gotta have him kind of guy. I just because, like I said, after we get past those first seven picks, it's just a whole mishmash of guys to me mostly after those first seven or eight. But
yeah, I mean, if I was picking out the top six, I would say JSN should be your number one guy because you should be able to get him at the 1-6.
Yeah.
And for long-term value, he is, to me, the safest of all of them.
And like I said, from that top six, I actually do like Gibbs even over JSN. And I know that's not popular to have a running back over a receiver, but I do think Gibbs could also be, assuming they use him in a better way than they use Swift, as we talked about earlier. And give him a little more usage, maybe a little more in the running game than they gave Swift. But I just think he's the kind of guy who's going to last a while too, just because he is a pass catcher plus, and he's not going to get like beat to hell. Hopefully he won't be as injury prone as DeAndre Swift.
Well, I mean, also he's got David Montgomery there to take some of those, right, you know, hard touches, and that's what he's been used for. So, I mean, I think the build there is also better than whenever they had Swift. They normally let him run around with, you know, I mean, Jamal Williams was good last year, but before that he was, eh.
Yeah, and we've seen with a guy like Eckler, I mean, he's producing into his age 27, 28 season because he has not taken quite the beating that you know, a guy who's running between the tackles 15 times a game is going to be doing. So of the top guys, I like him. Of guys outside of that top couple tiers, though, I'd say the guy that I'm kind of been most interested in is and I mentioned him in passing earlier, is Kendre Miller.
Oh, yeah.
I did like his tape, and I think it's a low-key pretty good landing spot there. Kamara could be suspended half the year, so you could get immediate production. But even if not, I don't know how much longer Kamara is going to be there. I'm not sure how long Williams is signed for, but I'm not worried about Jamal Williams necessarily. Yeah. Is that three real years? Or?
Yeah, well, it's one of those. I know at least two of them are real years. The third year might be one of those iffies, but, I mean, for two seasons – You got him there, and everyone seems to love his personality.
Yeah, it's not like most running backs, especially guys drafting the third round, you're expecting to be a workhorse. So, but I do think he's a guy who could produce for you for quite a bit. And like I said, I'm not sure how long Kamara is going to be there, and especially depending on how this whole legal thing goes. So, but he's a guy that I've liked. And then you can get him usually, from what I've seen so far, around that 205, 206 area. So you're not having...
Yep, middle of the second seems about... Yep. Yeah, seems about where he is.
And I do not know why the Packers selected two tight ends in back-to-back rounds. Do you, Jeff?
Well, I mean, honestly, in my mind, I almost look at, like, as a fantasy football manager. And you're looking at it going, I got DeGura or whoever their best tight end was. And at that point, yeah, taking two of them. Because I thought Kraft was a good, like, a actual real NFL third round pick. And, you know, and if one of the two guys hits, it's worth your two picks. It's just, if you're asking me which one's going to hit, that's a for real toss up.
It's like our dynasty drafts. You take a couple tight ends, and as you move your draft moves along in the second, third, fourth rounds, and you hope one of them becomes something.
And that's more of what I think it was, and the fact that they literally had no one in their tight end room. I mean, there was nobody on that team that was going to start. I'm in a two tight end league that I just joined as an orphan, and I went through and scoured for second tight ends, and I skipped Green Bay, even though none of their tight ends were taken. I looked at it and said, there's no way, none of that's going to be worth it. They're going to take a cast off. And instead they just drafted guys, which was way better.
Yes. Musgrave is actually a guy I've gotten in a couple drafts so far. Usually it's around the 212, 301 turn area. But we'll see how that pans out, which of course probably means Tucker Kraft is going to be the guy. So,
yeah, exactly. That's going to be the later guy for some reason.
And okay, we'll move to our next question, which I don't know. Is this just in general? I don't know if this is supposed to be draft related or NFL related, but at Eric John Flynn, friend of the pod, what is the weirdest superstition you have or you've ever heard of?
Well, I mean, I definitely have one for fantasy football, and my superstition is I take no one on my team from my favorite team, the 49ers, because I am the kiss of death. I swear I have, like, the worst luck if I take someone from my team, and then they suddenly either turn out bad, get hurt, whatever it is. So I actually purposefully stay away besides one Brandon Ayuk share I got in a trade where the guy just offered it to me, and I said, I can't pass that up.
I do not do that, but my team is loaded with fantasy good. I mean, the 49ers are to an extent too. So,
If you got the right guy, I mean, I guess I would take CMC, but I'm not gonna. But it's one of those, like, I purposely stay out of my way to not trade for those things and do those things. That way, I don't have that conflict.
If we're talking fantasy related, that actually reminds me of something that I used to, I didn't do it as much this last year because I didn't really play as much DFS. But I had this. It happened to me once or twice, and I just became certain it was going to happen every time. Where, when I played DFS, because I was in like a weekly league with a bunch of guys, and you know, just whoever finishes the highest wins a small amount of money, a DFS league. And it's whenever I took guys on my one of my like my redraft fantasy team that I use, that I draft every year, the guys I've been in for 20 years, they always suck. Like I started refusing to actually overlap my DFS team with my redraft team because it always worked out poorly for both, and I did not want my my redraft team with the guys I've been playing with for 20 years to suffer because I happened to pick a guy on DFS. So I stopped doing it.
It's weird. You almost psych yourself out going, I'm the problem. Yes. So I will just avoid the problem, right?
Yeah. Exactly. That's what it was. And like I said, it happened multiple times where, like, I would have a guy on my redraft team. I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it anymore. So I don't know if I have a non-NFL superstition I can even think of. Do you?
Oh, well, I do. As a guy who plays tabletop role-playing games, who rolls dice and does these things all the time, There are such things as cursed dice. And if you've never had the issue, I have, and I have literally taken one and crushed it with like a heavy dictionary on a table right there into powder. I was so angry. Now, granted, this is a long time ago, but it's definitely something that's there. And now I just have like a timeout corner. Like I have a little box where I put dice in and it says timeout. I've been bad.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, I do a little bit of superstition as a poker player. You know, I do have little superstitions here and there.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I guess I'm boring. I can't think of any, maybe there's something and I'm just not thinking of it, but I can't think of anything myself, but I love that. That's funny. But our next one, and this is, I kind of mentioned this earlier when we were talking about this class. Fantasy 2023 draft class, overhyped and underwhelming. We were sold a bill of goods. Mm-hmm. Should we just move off draft picks and cash out on the hype from now on? And he says, surprised how unappealing these RBs are outside of Bijan and Gibbs. And then he's got one draft done and two going on right now. So I'll start with this and then you can chime in, Jeff. I actually was talking with a buddy about this earlier by text, that basically saying the same thing, that this to me is so under compared to the way we were treating 2023 first for all of 2022. Yes. Like they were God's gift to fantasy, basically 2020. Like any random 2023 first was just gold. And yeah, so I definitely think it's underwhelming. And I even think in general, this class, like not just because of the hype, but just in like as a class, it's not bad, but it's not particularly good to me either. Like those first 6-7 picks I like, and maybe to 8, but after that, there, I mean, I'm sure there's guys that are going to pop, but I don't feel great about anyone after that, those top 8 or so. And that, like I said, that's just from a general comparing it to 22, 21, 20, not just comparing it to what we thought the 2023 class is going to be. So I definitely agree with that. And that's what I was saying. From now on, I am never buying, because it happens. It's definitely happened before too. I'm never buying into pre draft year hype, like, oh, the 26 class is going to be amazing. If that happens, I don't care. I'm treating every class basically equally, and if people are going nuts over a class, I'm selling all my picks in that class because I'd rather capitalize on the ridiculous hype and hope my team is good and it doesn't end up the 1-1 or something like that. But what do you think, Jeff?
I definitely think this class was very overhyped, and they're right. It's been underwhelming as it came out. I mean, multiple podcast sites, everyone, you're right, last year was saying, hey, get those 2023. Yep. You're going to want it. All the running backs you ever need, super deep. You don't need to worry about it. And now I look at it and, you know, is it deep? Yeah, it is deep at running back. Is it deep at running backs I actually want on my roster and I can actually put into a starting lineup? Absolutely not.
Yeah, like a lot of that's part of what happened too, which some of them are good, but
Charbonnet
ended up in, yeah, like Charbonnet's the perfect example. Even other guys, like, they didn't end up.
Sean Tucker, not even getting drafted.
Yeah. And Zach Evans was a bit of a Debbie Darling at one point, and yeah, he's a 6th-round pick now. So,
yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, even some of the good guys that like we said, Charbonnet ended up in a bad landing spot.
Well, my biggest thing that I think, like you said, don't get hyped up about a class. Like you said, 2026 is going to be great. I think the right answer is, like right now, we're looking at 2024. But I think if you want in on the 2024 class, you should have been doing that last year. I kind of look at it as you want to get 2 years ahead. So this year, if you want this is the year to get 2025 picks, not 2024. I've kind of been taking that in all of my dynasty leagues and kind of trading for 2 years out, not 1 year out. And it seems to, at least the way I build my teams, it seems to have been fitting a lot better for me. And I've been able to like roll through and sell off old running backs. I've been keeping my receivers, and it seems to have fit a lot better to say, hey, you know, this year, 2024, people have already been trying to get that class. So now I need to just always do the 2 years in advance and hope that works out.
That's a smart play, but I don't have the patience for that. Like saying to pick them, like even to be able to trade them first, you're still probably waiting till after 2024 until you can really get a nice haul back for a 2025 first. So I still, even if I'm just thinking about not picking and trading them, I still have to be patient, which I think Russ would say the same thing. We don't have the patience for that, but that is the smart move. That's the do as we say, not as we do move.
Well, I mean, you know, in the league where I'm completely rebuilding, I made a trade that everyone pretty much said they didn't think was great. And I sent away the shiny new toy in Justin Herbert for Kyler Murray, 25 first, 25 second. And because I want to score 0 points this year, my goal is to get Caleb Williams. So for me, it was a phenomenal trade. And everyone said those need to be 2024 firsts. And my reply was, well, I already have all of his 2024 firsts. I'm purposefully taking this team's everything he has from the future to try to make him bad.
Right. And yeah, and I'm personally a big Kyler guy myself. I think he's like way undervalued at this point.
Oh, I mean, when he's on the field, he's a top eight QB, and there's no argument for it. You know, when he produces numbers. Now, granted, he's gotten hurt 2 years in a row. That is the worry. But Justin Herbert had offseason shoulder surgery, and you know, he was good last year. Great was never in the conversation.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Okay, so we'll get to our last question here, which is from at RRBC12. In a non-PPR or PPC league, what's the angle to replenish? Hope to find someone willing to trade bets. What would a 104 to 107 net you, or how would you pivot down in picks? Is it even worth it with this class and lack of good RB depth?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think, Jeff?
All right, so it's not PPR, so we're talking standard scoring. Right there, that would tell me that I'm going to start devaluing not top 12 wide receivers. And yes, I will buy veteran running backs in this kind of setup. This is exactly where you want to find the Dalvin Cook manager.
Yeah.
Say, hey, man, do you want my 111, 112 this year for him? Do you want my? And if you think you're going to be good, trade away future first. If you think you're going to be at the back end again, I think that is exactly what you do in this kind of league. 1.4 to 1.7. I'm going to tell you, you keep your 1.4 and 1.5. And if you have the 1.6 or 1.7, I don't think trading back is such a bad idea, especially because now you were looking at all those receivers that just got knocked down and all those running backs get pushed up a little bit. So I would be fine trading out of the 1.6 or 1.7. Back into the second round for, you know, that 2.2, 2.5.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, so there it is. Yeah, trade for vets and then use a. I would keep the 1.4 or 1.5 and take that elite option, but I would definitely trade the 1.6 or 1.7 and, you know, see if you can get 2 seconds this year and a future second, or, you know, whatever your best deal is, because moving back in a non-PPR league is exactly what you want to do.
Right, and I pretty much agree with that. It's hard for me to even kind of answer this a little bit just because I can't even remember the last time I played in a standard non-PPR. I know that's what we call it when it's non-PPR, but
yeah,
PPR is standard at this point. A non-PPR league, like, I mean, obviously all you're caring about is touchdowns and yards. So
exactly.
Yeah. It's perfect to, like you said, get those veteran running backs. Derrick Henry, for instance, would be another one.
Mm-hmm. So, buy them all. Like that Joe Mixon for the 2.6 that we talked about earlier. I mean, that's exactly what you want to do in this league. Buy, buy, buy.
Yeah, and I love the idea you said about trading back to that second because, yeah, get it. It's been, well, I, it's hard to say if it's a non PPR league. Is it Superflex? I don't know, but yeah. But it, assuming Superflex, there's like tons of running backs going in that second round at this point. So it's a great place to have picks in this type of league.
Yeah, and but I would tell you,
pushed
yeah.
up if the other managers are smart. But still, I think you can get some guys there.
Well, I was just going to say with that, you know, middle of the first. I mean, if you can get 3 second round picks, you take it. Even if one, even if two of them are like the 2.8 and the 2.10, great. As long as one of them's in that 2.2 to 2.4 range, take it.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I think that was a great answer, and I don't disagree with anything you said there. So, but that is our last question. So that is the end of our show sheet, which means that is the end of our show. So, Russ, you did not make it back, but no problem here. Me and Jeff held down the fort for these listener questions. I appreciate you coming on, Jeff. If you want to just let the people know where they can find you on Twitter, anything else you want to mention before we sign off here.
Oh, yeah, sure. Once again, you know, my name's Jeff. I go by Alpha Male JMJ. I've had that handle for years on Twitter. That's what I go by. Everyone expects me to be a real douche and dick when they talk to me. You know, which I can understand with the Alpha Male thing. It's just, you know, I thought it was funny as a Twitter handle, and now it's just kind of stuck. That's my handle on Sleeper, or almost pretty much wherever else I play, unless you played in Flea Flicker League with me, and then I was the Globo Gym Purple Cobras.
Okay. Okay, but that'll finish us up. I will just – I'm at Dynasty FF Addict. Russ, of course, is at Dynasty Outhouse. Just make sure you are following the pod at Trade Addicts Pod, and always as FF Pod Shirts, thestoreenvy.com. I'm sure SFB13 stuff, if it's not already there, will be coming very soon. I know Russ said I think we might be transitioning from there, but I forget where he said to. So I know everything goes to Fantasy Cares, though. What else am I supposed to mention? The Patreon. Make sure you're following. If you're interested, you want to support the pod, you can sign up for the Patreon. You can see our lovely faces as we record here and when Russ has to hop out. But it's Trade Addicts, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. I think that's everything.
I did have one last thing I wanted to say. Sure. Well, because it's my guiding principle in Dynasty Leagues. Guys, good trade partners are worth their weight in gold. So I want to shout out my two. One is at DadBodBrett. He is all over Twitter, and he was my first great Dynasty trade partner. And my new one is CB Insfeld, and he is also on Twitter. And cultivate those relationships, because they're the ones that help you get where you want to go. And if you have a good trade partner, you can both lose a trade with each other, be happy, and keep moving and keep making your teams better.
Great, great, great message to end the show with. So I'm just going to stop us there and say good night, Jeff.
Good night, bud. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.